amount of transaction fees or monthly subscriptions. This pay-as-you-go strategy ensures that the state is using its IT dollars for projects that other agencies really want and that have solid cost efficiencies. Cumulative savings from new digital systems would represent a substantial portion of every government's budget. The Pentagon recently found that it was spending more money to process and approve travel vouchers, $2.3 billion, than it was spending on travel itself, $2 billion. For a reasonable and largely one-time investment, an online expense system would free up billions of dollars in costs every year. A billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money, as Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois used to say of federal spending. Billions would go a long way against a U.S. budget that annually allocates $27 billion for food stamps, $25 billion for welfare, and $13 billion for public housing. These programs all have enormously expensive paper-based administrative systems that easily consume 30% of the funding. Properly deployed digital systems could drive the overhead below 10%. Citizens, becoming more aware of the power of the web, are no longer willing to accept the idea that government service should be slow or confusing. No consumer would stand in line for 2 hours to get service from private enterprise. Why should a plumber stand in line for 2 hours at a government office and lose 2 hours of pay, when, by using the internet, he could get his license or pay his fees in a few minutes and be at work on time? Deregulation of telecommunications is probably the single greatest step that a country can take to create a digital economy. Replacing telecommunications monopolies with open competition around the world will stimulate innovation in internet service delivery and will reduce rates, which are high and discourage use in many countries. If a government has policies that are internet-friendly and invests in a high-tech culture, the benefits can be considerable. Costa Rica followed such a course and won a regional competition for an Intel chip fabrication plant. In the first full year of operation, the plant produced $700 million in export revenues, more than either bananas or coffee, the country's largest agricultural crops. Building an information economy will make all the companies in the country more competitive. The information age benefits from having more participants. As more and more countries join in, the importance increases for all countries. World trade will be done digitally. No government can put a fully digital approach in place immediately, but every government can begin now with strong first steps that benefit citizens and make them feel that the government is working for them. The practical guiding principle should be that citizens should never again have to fill out multiple forms or go multiple places to get information. As one government official said in conversation about his new website, which lets people access 100 years of county records online, people can tell when you're trying to help. They know the difference between a government agency trying to help them and one that's just getting in the way. When reflex is a matter of life and death. A victory for technology. That's how most people remember the Gulf War of 1991. Cruise missiles hugged the terrain over hundreds of miles to hit heavily fortified targets, and radar-evading stealth fighters dropped smart bombs on communications centers and bridges. For 38 days during Operation Desert Storm, the U.S. military and its allies controlled the air. Flying 2,500 sorties a day with minimal losses, Allied air forces set up the left hook ground assault that drove Iraq from Kuwait and ended the war after just 100 hours of ground operations. The high-tech aircraft of the Gulf War had decidedly low-tech mission support, though. In the Persian Gulf, mission orders were written up on an old-fashioned grease board just as they had been for every air war in the past. Squadron commanders had to manually track which pilots had flown what missions and who was available to fly next. Pilots got face-to-face threat briefings on target locations, the best routes in and out, locations of enemy troops, and the possibility of surface-to-air missiles, ground fire, and other contingencies. Then they retreated for a minimum of 3 hours and usually 7 or 8 hours of mission planning. They'd look up relevant maps in a file cabinet and photocopy and tape maps together. Then they'd walk out distances with a protractor, draw in the route and danger levels with colored pencils, study photos, transcribe intelligence data onto the maps, and calculate the elevations of obstacles. Only after completing this paperwork did pilots go out to fly their dangerous missions. After the Gulf War, the U.S. Air Force, like all the services, held a lessons learned conference. High on the Air Force list for running a future high-intensity air war was better flight planning for pilots flying into harm's way. While some active-duty Air Force personnel wanted to address this need with the military's traditional computer systems, members of the U.S. Air Force Reserve and Air National Guard, who had civilian experience, immediately said, "We gotta do this on a PC." The reservists turned to a number of commercial software developers as well as to the Georgia Institute of Technology, whose researchers were already experienced with the mathematical models and geographic data sources required to a sophisticated mapping system. The result was Falcon View, a PC-based mission planning system developed in 18 months for about $2.5 million. Falcon View cuts the old manual mission planning process for a standard sortie from upward of 7 hours to less than 20 minutes. It increases planning accuracy through the use of precise digital data and aeronautical mapping tools. And it's affordable enough and easy enough to use that the Air Force has deployed it worldwide. Falcon View became so popular with pilots that they began to ask for additional capabilities. Their requests led the Air Force to embark on a program called Cyber Warrior to bring information technology to all phases of pilot and aircraft deployment, from scheduling to intelligence dissemination to debriefing. The service quickly developed an intelligence scheduling system that tracks pilot assignments, training levels, availability, and special information such as whether a pilot needs to log a night mission to satisfy training requirements. A commander can do a quick search to find candidates for upcoming missions, and pilots can dial in on laptop computers to see when they're scheduled to fly. A PC-based debriefing system helps squadrons reconstruct missions to improve planning for the next mission. Instead of sitting down with a paper map and a set of colored pencils, a pilot today sits down with a laptop computer containing digital maps of the world, digital images and updates from military intelligence, and an electronic drawing kit customized for military aviators. The pilot can immediately locate landmarks such as bridges or rivers, plot his route, check safety parameters, check weapons systems information and weapons loads, link to a web-based weather source, and prepare flight maps and plans. Before he flies the mission, the pilot can study mountainous areas or cities to preview what he'll see in the air and get a good idea of the deployment of hostile forces. If a pilot wants to know the elevation of a mountain, he simply clicks on it on his digital map and sees a precise latitude, longitude, and altitude reading, information a pilot used to have to dig up from paper charts. Fighter pilots load the Falcon View pre-mission planning files into the aircraft's computers for use in flight. In addition to providing routine aviation data such as fuel consumption and takeoff and landing information, Falcon View has a number of specialized features for military aviation. Falcon View data is used in onboard weapons systems for computerized targeting and for checking weapons fusing, whether a bomb is set to explode on the ground or 20 feet in the air. Falcon View does drop calculations that take into account the altitude and speed of the plane, the speed and direction of the wind, even the changing weight and balance of an aircraft before and after dropping its payload. Falcon View can mean the difference between a successful mission and an impossible one. During a tour to the Bosnia theater, a pilot took his copy of Falcon View along with him to a base in Italy that didn't have access to the software yet. NATO forces had been looking for a particular bridge in Bosnia for 3 days and couldn't find it on their maps or from the air. The pilot fired up Falcon View and located the bridge immediately. They blew it up that afternoon. Falcon View displays satellite imagery accurate to within 5 meters. At the 10-meter resolution of the older